the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a beautiful song today by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and continue with our series of messages on the cross as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that anytime you write, email, call us, or go on the website, please tell us how you hear the program, the call letters of the station you listen to, the internet provider, or the how you listen to us on the internet. We need to know that so that we can better serve Christ by knowing which stations we can keep having on the air. So please do that for us every time. Right now, let's hear "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Heavenly Father, as we study Calvary. We know that Jesus died on the cruel cross that we might have life eternal. And dear Lord God, those who are listening today, whoever they are, wherever they are, who are not saved by God's grace, may this be the happy day. They will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. We ask it in His name. Amen. We are using 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24 as a text for the series. But we preach Christ crucified, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ crucified, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, yesterday I attempted to answer questions asked, why was it necessary for Jesus to die on the cross, why did God allow sin anyway? Why did God permit the devil to tempt Adam, and so on and so on? Now, briefly, here's what I said, and we'll continue. Briefly, I said, God is love, and love must have a beloved. Love must have someone to love. And God is perfect love, and perfect love cannot fellowship with imperfect love. Now, God created the angels, ministering spirits, to the heirs of salvation. But in the beginning, God knew exactly what he would do, when he would do, everything that he has done or will do. And let me hasten to say that God, in his omnipotence and omniscience, has done and is doing and will do everything that God has ever done, is doing, or ever will do, to his glory and honor, and rightly so, because he is God, and beside him there is no other. And all things were created by him through the Son and for the glory of God. And when we speak of God, we speak of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, here is God's plan spelled out. I said yesterday, someone would ask, and let me say this, and then I'll talk about God's plan. Someone is asking, why didn't God create Adam sinless and keep him that way? God created Adam, a living soul, not a mechanical puppet, not a machine. Man is not a machine. Man has made some marvelous, manufactured some marvelous machines, but there is not a machine that can love and fellowship with a man. Not a one. I don't care how great, marvelous they are. A machine cannot love. A machine cannot fellowship. Now, Adam was created a living soul, but God is creating now. God is creating now. A man, or men, I should say, are persons who are holy. What do you mean, preacher? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, we have in the first part of the chapter the sordid picture of a sinner, dead and all the rest, but God. But God, verse 4, rich in mercy, great love, wherewith he loved us when we were dead, quickened us together with Christ, quickened us together with Christ. Now watch this. Raised us up together, verse 6, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now where did we read about the grace of God before? Where did we read about grace? Where did grace originate? Grace originated in the beginning, in the wisdom of God, in the heart of God, because of the love of God. Now wait just a minute. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now it's all in one verse. He has suffered. He did die. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty, but the day is coming when he'll be crowned with he will be crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he'll reign supremely. Now that day is coming. He is crowned today in that he is now seated in the highest seat of heaven, that is, by the Father's right hand. In the beginning, he was in the bosom of the Father. Today, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But now, we read about grace, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, by the grace of God. May I have your undivided attention? I beg you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say. We're not only saved by grace, dear friend. There would be no grace to save us if God Almighty's grace had not been extended to us in the death of Jesus. It was only by God's grace that God Almighty allowed Jesus to die. And it was God who set him forth. It was God who sent him into the world. And the Bible tells us that he was smitten of God. Smitten of God. Now, God's grace allowed Jesus to take a body of humiliation. And even though he was in the form of God, he took a body like unto your body, my body, and in that body he suffered death, but not just death. He suffered the death of the cross. He suffered the death that sin demands. He suffered shame. He was made a curse. He was not just cursed, that is, from the standpoint of man cursing him. He did not just become the cursed one in the eyes of men. They called him, they said he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They said he has a devil. He has a devil. He is demon possessed. They said he is an illegitimate. They not only said that, but he was made a curse. He was made sin. He did not sin, but he was made like unto you and me. And in that body, he tasted death for you. He tasted death for me, that we might not taste death, but that we might live eternally. Now let me get to the verse that I'm trying to get to, and the glorious passage that I want to read today about God's eternal purpose and God's eternal plan. Now, in the ages to come, the eternity of eternities, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace, the exceeding riches of God's grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God's kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about Calvary, the death. God so loved, God was so kind, so merciful, so long-suffering, that God allowed his Son to take our place and die on the cross, that in Jesus we might become sons of God and sit together in heavenly places in Jesus, and in the eternity of eternities be on display to all creation, showing forth the exceeding riches of God's grace in saving us. Now, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, you give to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here's the verse: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ. My friend, when you become a Christian, you don't join Christianity. Oh, you may join the Baptist Church. You may join the Methodist Church. You may join the Catholic Church. You may join the Lutheran Church. You may join the Episcopal Church. You may join Jehovah's Witnesses. You may join the Spiritualists. You may join the Mormons. You may join some other religion. You may join some other organization. But when you become a son of God, you will be a new creation, a new created being, a new person. God creates within you a new heart, a new life, a new person, and God places within your bosom divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, partakers of divine nature. Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And John 3:5, except a man be born of spirit, except a man be born of spirit. If any man have not the spirit, partakers of divine nature, hid with Christ in God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, created in Christ Jesus, we are God's creation. We are created in Christ through the miracle of the new birth. Now, I want you to skip with me, and I'm not skipping because these verses are not wonderful, but I must hurry on. In Ephesians 2:19, "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Members of God's household. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," watch it, "in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." A holy temple in the Lord, "in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." God lives in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit, if you're born again. My friend, I beg you to hear Bible doctrine. I beg you to hear Bible truth. I beg you to hear the Scripture. If you are a child of God, if you're born again, if you're saved by God's grace, you are an habitation of God. God lives in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul continues in chapter 3, and I must rush on now. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now, knowledge is acquaintance with fact, the act or the state of understanding, clear perception of truth. That's the definition of knowledge. Now, Paul said, "I want you to know why I have the knowledge that I have. I received the knowledge that I have by revelation." That's what Paul said. Knowledge is acquaintance with fact. Knowledge is clear understanding or perception of truth. All right. Now, he said, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body," not bodies, body singular, "and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Well, what is the gospel? The cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection. No death, no burial, no resurrection. So you can't dissect, you can't separate the death, burial, and resurrection. It's all one. In other words, if there had never been Calvary, there would have never been the garden tomb. There would have never been the resurrection morning. Calvary, the death, the divine imperative. And death could not hold him. They crucified him, but death could not hold him. He said, "I will rise again the third day," and he did. Now read on. Paul said, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Now, the power of God struck Paul down on the road to Damascus. The power of God arrested him. The power of God blinded him. The power of God moved him. And he cried out, "Tell me, Jesus, what to do." And he did it. And God's grace saved him. "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent," wait now, watch it closely, "to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the church of the living God, the body of Christ, the church of which Jesus is the head and the foundation, and every believer is a member of that body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, a member of that body because we are created in Christ. A member of that body because we are builded, framed together by the power of Almighty God. By the church, the manifold wisdom. Watch it now. To the intent, I'm reading Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You remember our text? The power. Jesus Christ crucified, the power and the wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose. The purpose of God from the ages. The purpose of the ages. God had only one purpose. The divine wisdom of God purposed in the ages, the eternity behind us, that Jesus die on the cross to bring many sons into the family of God, to build the building, the habitation of God, to create the body, the New Testament church of which we are members, that in the eternity of eternities, God might display the exceeding riches of his grace, the manifold wisdom of God in salvation through his Son, the crucified, buried, risen Jesus, according to the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul in 1 Timothy 1:17 speaks of Jesus as King of the ages. That's in 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17, Paul speaks of Jesus as King of the ages. Now, in the beginning, God in his omnipotence and omniscience purposed, planned, made possible, and in the fullness of time provided salvation through the suffering and the death of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Lamb, the one born holy, the only holy baby. Innocent babies, yes, but only one holy baby, Jesus the Holy One. He died to save you, and if you'll believe on him, he'll save you now. And if you do not trust in his shed blood now, you're lost. If you are not depending, if you are not resting in the blood, the shed blood of the Lamb of God, you're lost. Father, in the name of Jesus, may this be the happy day when many will put their faith and trust in Jesus. We ask it in his precious saving name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green again, and before we close today, I want to be sure you know about our new gift offer M. The letter M is all you need to ask for to get this great offer. It contains a new book here at the Gospel Hour that we have assembled in memory and honor of my dad's passing 50 years ago today, and it also contains two other items especially related to my dad and a four-page tract that we feel goes very well with the new book. And all of that's available to you if you request Gift Offer M and can send the donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount $15 or more. Now, if you can send $20, $25, even more, I urge you to do so because your donations are needed every day. And I also know that many of you will want to order several sets of this offer to share with others. To do that, just tell me how many sets you want and please enclose a donation of at least $15 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you these great items. Now, first of all, I'm going to send you the 4-page tract, 3 Steps to Heaven's Reward, talking about 3 wise men in the Bible. I'll send you 5 copies of the tract, and then I urge you to order more to pass around in your neighborhood. Then I'm sending you a 5x7 color photograph of my dad that he autographed. Of course, this is a reproduction of the autograph, but it is a very nice item to keep. Also, a bookmark to go along with the new book. The front of it is a photograph of the cover of the book, and on the back is my dad's favorite verse of scripture. Finally, the new book I'm talking about is Joy Cometh in the Morning. It is, of course, based on Psalm 30, verse 5. It's 98 pages long, plus a composite photo of the Gospel Hour through the years, as well as a great introduction by me and a timeline of my dad. So to get all of this, just ask for Offer M and send your gift of at least $15. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.